Please open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, and in your Scofield Bible, page 698. We'll begin with the 10th verse and read responsively through verse 15. The 14th and the 15th verses are the text verses for tonight's message. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 10 through 15, page 698. In your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And let's pray. Father, the opportunity now awaits us of hearing from thee. I can't think of anything more important that's going on in the world right now than to hear from thee. You're our God, you're our maker, our creator. And to hear from the one who made us has to rank as the most important thing that's going on right now. We want to hear from thee. So bless the preaching, our preacher, and give us carefulness to listen intently in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you take your Bibles, please, and open them to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and just put a little marker there, if you would, please. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I want us all to turn to it very quickly after a while. And once you put a little marker there, I want you to turn to one of the passages, and that is Philippians in chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. I want you to put a little marker there, and we'll turn to it a little while later in the service. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Now that you've done that, would you close your Bibles and just leave them in your lap there? If you haven't found those verses now, forget it. You're a heathen. I want to read, without your turning to it, a verse you read a while ago. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. Here's my text. And God requireth that which is past. Did you see that? And God requireth that which is past. No talking. Let's pray. Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. I pray the people will listen carefully. Hush every couple that's been whispering. Hush every college student that's been misbehaving. Every teenager that's been careless about behavior. Focus our attention tonight on this great passage in truth. Amen. Set up straight. Look right this way. It says, God requireth something. Wow. Here's something that God, let me get this other mic here. Here's something that God requires. Didn't say he prefers it. Didn't say he recommends it. Didn't say he suggests it. It says he requires it. The word require means here to demand it back. God demands something back. He does not suggest, recommend, or even say he prefers it. It says he requires it. What is this thing that God requires? What is this thing that God demands that we retrieve? Simply, the past. The Bible says, God requireth that which is past. The entire political battle today in America is the past versus the present. That's the whole issue. The entire spiritual battle in America today can be wrapped up in one little phrase, the past versus the present. Look at me and listen to me. The entire moral battle can be wrapped up in one statement, the past versus the present. The abortion battle is wrapped up in one statement, the past versus the present. The arms, gun control battle can be wrapped up in one statement, the past versus the present. The capital punishment battle is wrapped up in one statement. It's the past versus the present. It's whether we do what the past has done or what a bunch of modernists want us to do. That's the whole story. The queer battle and the problem in America today can be wrapped up in one statement, the past versus the present. We had no, quote, gay rights campaigns in the past. That's all present stuff. As the morals of America have, take your coat and put it up there. We've had coats fall down on people lately. The whole thing is wrapped up, the past versus the present. The Bible problem in America. The whole Bible issue is wrapped up, the past versus the present. Shall we use the Bible of the past, or shall we use the Bibles of the present? The whole issue. The financial problems in America today are all wrapped up in one little statement, the past versus the present. The women's dress problem. What a woman's supposed to wear. Today somebody said to me, one of our college boys said he couldn't prove with the Bible that a woman shouldn't wear pants. He hadn't had my Bible. My Bible says a woman's not supposed to wear that which pertaineth to a man. Men have been wearing pants for years. I'd suggest you change colleges. We're not rearing a bunch of fellows to get out here and preach the present. We're training a bunch of fellows to get out here and preach the past. Your trouble is you're a sissy. You want to be popular. The whole men's hairstyle problem today is wrapped up, one little statement, the past versus the present. You never saw a fellow with a ponytail in the past. Permanents in the past were for men. I know mine wasn't permanent. My hair was very temporary. The situation concerning the Bible and prayer in the public schools can be wrapped up in one little statement, a phrase, the past versus the present. Our welfare problem, where it takes five working people to feed one lazy rascal and finances illegitimate child, is wrapped up in one little phrase, the past versus the present. Soul winning versus lifestyle evangelism can be wrapped up in one statement, a phrase, the past versus the present. Our home problems can be wrapped up in one statement, the past versus the present. Our child discipline problem can be wrapped up in one statement, the past versus the present. In the past, we spanked the child. In the present, a bunch of liberal welfare workers, a bunch of liberal educators think they know more than God. They know exactly what the devil knows. It's the past versus the present. So God is saying to us, He requires the Bible of the past. He requires the morals of the past. He requires the home of the past. He requires the manners of the past. He requires the principles of the past. He requires the churches of the past. He requires the philosophy of the past. He requires the standards of the past. He requires the character of the past. Looks like somebody ought to have enough sense to know that the product is result of the recipe. And as we see our morals deteriorating, as we see our homes crumbling, our marriages decaying, as we see our safety being infringed on, as we see the crumbling of our society, why doesn't somebody have enough sense to know that the recipe is what determines the product? I mean, the fact that America has decayed is because America is living for the present and not for the past. But God requireth the past. Rehoboam, son of Solomon, the king that was king of Israel when the kingdom was divided in the northern and southern kingdom. Rehoboam became the king, and he had a decision to make about the taxes of the land. He wanted some advice. He called the men of the past, the older men, and said, I'd like to know what you think. And they gave him advice. They said, the burden is too heavy now on the people. And they gave him advice. Then he called the younger men of the present generation, and the battle was the past versus the present. And he said, what do you think? And they gave just the opposite advice. Now, some of you kids better quit taking advice from a bunch of 18-year-olds and take advice from somebody that knows something about the past. But you say, you're old fogey, yes, and so is decency, old fogey. And so is morality, old fogey. And so is not getting drunk, old fogey. And so is no dope, old fogey. And so is having babies inside wedlock, old fogey. Yeah, it's old fogey, and you kids are very wise to take some advice from some old fogies. Rehoboam had followed the advice of the young men, and the kingdom was divided. Tragedy came, and eventually the mighty army of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came, leveled the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because Rehoboam chose the present instead of the past. And the temple was destroyed. Why? Because Rehoboam chose the present instead of the past. And the walls of the city were leveled. Why? Because Rehoboam chose the present instead of the past. And the Jews went to captivity for 70 years. Why? Because Rehoboam chose the present rather than the past. And there's nothing wrong with America tonight that couldn't be cured by a return to the faith of our fathers. The past. God requireth the past. God requireth the past. God requireth the past. David came to bring some cheese and crackers and a care package to his brothers in the army fighting against the Philistines. He came up there to the battle and gave the care package and cheese and crackers and a little care package to his brothers. And he saw this big loud-mouthed fellow, 9 feet 9 inches tall, named Goliath, breathing out threatenings to the men of the armies of God in Israel. And Goliath was saying, I challenge you to choose a captain from Israel
Let him come and fight me. And if he wins, the Israelite army will be victors in the war. If I win, the Philistine army will be victors in the war. Little old bitty David, little short kind of a fella, said to his brothers, why doesn't somebody knock his block off? Young people, listen. That's one thing you ought to do, is listen to what the past is saying. See that finger right there? More brains than that finger, and you got your head, you misbehaving folks. And you college boys tonight misbehaving in the service and dating your girlfriend and flirting with your girlfriend and talking, you better listen. There's more brains than that finger, and you got your head. It's time America gave some veneration to age for a change. These people got white hair, got more sense under their white hair than you got under your black hair. God requireth that which is past. God requireth that which is past. But if God requires it, you better find out what it is. David comes in. David said, won't somebody go knock that big giant's block off? And his brother said, have you seen how big he is? David said, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. And his brother said, what are you talking? David said, let me go take care of him. I'll handle the big buzzard. Going back to the original language now. I'll handle him. His brother said, you better go back and take care of the sheep. You're just a little boy. David said, you see that arm out there? I killed a bear with that arm. You did? Yeah, I did. I see that arm? I killed a lion with that arm. Well, let's go tell the king about it. They go tell the king, and King Saul says, what you want? David said, I want to go knock a big buzzard's block off. And Saul said, man, you just a boy. You can't do that. He said, see that arm? I killed a bear. No. Yeah. I killed a lion. No. Yeah. Okay. Saul said, you can fight him. But he said, won't you take my armor and put it on? And take my spear and use it. Little David put, and Saul was this much taller than the second tallest person in the kingdom. And little David put that big armor on. David wore a size 36 coat and Saul wore a size 63. And David put that big armor on, walked a half block, and the armor didn't move. He said, your Majesty, if you don't mind, I'd just like to take it off and not use the armor and not use your spear. And Saul said, look, man, you're going to fight the giant. Use mine. And David said, I have not proved these. But he said, I got a little slingshot here I proved. I have not proved these, he said, and I cannot use them. Nobody's proved you can build a great nation through abortion. Nobody's proved you can build a great nation through a bunch of queers. Nobody's proved you can build a great nation through having the guns taken away from the decent people and placed in the hands of the crooks. Nobody's proved you can build a great nation by putting birth control devices in the school system. Nobody's proved that, but we have proved that decency and honor and integrity and morals and the King James Bible has built a nation. I cannot go with these, said King David. I said, little David, I've not proved them. What were you saying was, I'm choosing the past over the present. Ahab the king saw a beautiful vineyard that he wanted. It belonged to a guy named Naboth. Ahab said, I'd like to have your vineyard. It's the one I want. It's right adjacent to mine. I'd like to have your vineyard. And Naboth said, I can't let you have it. Oh, he said, don't misunderstand me. I'll give you one bigger and better than this one. He said, don't want one bigger and better than this one. I want this one. And King Ahab said, why do you want that one? He said, because my father gave it to me. My father gave it to me. My father gave that to me, too. I don't want American Standard. My father gave me that one. I don't want the NIV. My father gave me that one. I don't want the new King James. My father gave me that one. I don't want the new Scofield. My father gave me that one. I don't want the Revised Standard Version. My father gave me that one. I don't want the American Standard Version 1901 or the new one. My father gave me that one. I don't want the Reader's Digest Condensed Version. My father gave me that one. And it's been proved. Benny Sunday proved it. John Rice proved it. Sam Jones proved it. The old-fashioned, old-timey evangelists and pastors proved it. We proved this book. You can't have it. My father gave it to us. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. Let's make it verse 1 and 2. Paul talking to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now get this. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Look at me. Here's what he's saying. Paul said, many witnesses of Christ, get me now, many witnesses of Christ came and told me what they saw. And they gave to me what they had. And I took it. Now, Timothy, I'm giving to you what was given to me. And Timothy, you take it from me. That's the third generation. Witnesses, Paul, and then Timothy. Now, Timothy, you give it to faithful men, that they may give it to others or teach others also. Five generations here. The witnesses of Christ, the Apostle Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and others also. I'll bind you tonight. America had some character when the churches were filled on Sunday night. You go down Holman Avenue tonight and see if you can find a light on. Just go from church to church. Go across the street. See if you can find a light on. Brother, church hadn't got a light on Sunday morning or a turnout on Sunday night or a turnout on Sunday morning. America needs to get back the past. Hiles Anderson College isn't out there to teach you a bunch of new stuff. Hiles Anderson College is out there to give you exactly what somebody gave us. Faith of our fathers living still. Not faith of ourselves living still. Not faith of our professors living still. Not faith of our seminaries living still. Faith of our fathers. We sit in front of the box and watch the present. We go to the amusement parks and watch the present. We go to rock concerts and watch the present. You never heard of rock music 50 years ago. Well, if Grandpa had gyrated like that, he'd had rheumatism all over. Rock music is present. HBO is present. Dirty movies are present. We sit. We go to our, turn to open our magazines and we look at the, watch the present. We go to our average church and watch the present. We watch the TV preachers and watch the present. We embrace the New Age movement and embrace the present. We embrace the new morality and embrace the present. We read the new Bibles and embrace the present. Let it be known. You say, oh yeah, you're an old man. I'll tell you what, brother. We got some young men up here who believe exactly what I believe. This old man passed off the scene. If somebody gets up here and doesn't preach what I'm preaching right now, these guys up here are going to get up and beat the tar out of him. And maybe something else. America was great when America was moral. America was great when America went to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. America was great when America didn't kill a bunch of babies. America was great when queers didn't have their demonstrations. America was great when young folks didn't have the needle to shoot their arms and make them out of this world. America was great when we had the King James Bible and nothing else. America was great before Hugh Hefner came along. America was great before Playboy magazine came along. America was great before Hollywood came along. America was great before socialism came along. America was great before Medicare came along. America was great before communism came along. America was great in the past, in God's name. Let's go back and get the past and bring it up. God requires the past. He requires that which is past. God requires that which is past. Didn't prefer it, doesn't suggest it, doesn't recommend it. It's required. Look at Philippians 3:13. This is a little thing we've done many years ago in a Bible study. I want to do it again tonight. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, you say, preacher, there, I got you now. Paul said he's forgetting the things behind and reaching forth to the things before him. Sound like to me, Paul is for the present and the future, not for the past. Let me teach you that. Look at me carefully. You fellows take your places up here. Ones I told you a while ago. This old man here represents America when it was founded. This white-haired man here represents the second generation. Old Slim here represents the third generation. Fourth generation, babies. Younger generation. May I ask you a question? Who's the oldest? Brother Colston or Brother Lapina in this skit? Who's the old generation? Brother Colston. So then the next generation is looking forward to the older generation, right? Not looking backward to the younger generation. So when Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind me, he's saying, I'm forgetting those young folks coming behind me and believing what the old folks in front of me believed. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm reaching forward to get something. Where will I get it? I get it from the generation that's gone before. Paul said, I am forgetting those things. I'm forgetting what the young people believe. And I'm believing what the old people believe. So I'm forgetting that which is behind me because young folks are coming behind. But the old folks are in front of me. And Paul said, I'm reaching forward. What? To apprehend. That word apprehend means to grab a hold of something. Paul said, I want what the old people had. He's saying, give me the past instead of the present. That's what he's saying. So the second generation holds its hands out. And the second generation says, I want to apprehend or latch on to that which my forefathers had. And the first, and I'm showing you the history of America tonight. Don't leave, miss this now. Our first generation turned and handed to the second generation what it had learned. What George Washington knew. What Thomas Adams knew. What Benjamin Franklin knew. What our forefathers knew. What Jonathan Edwards knew. What Peter Cartwright knew. What the old-time preachers knew. What an America knew when the employees of Marshall Field Company had to go to church on Wednesday night or get fired. Now they keep the stupid store open on Sunday to get rich. He wanted what America had when if a gal went up down the street in shorts, she was a whore. If they walk down the street in shorts now, they not, may not be a whore, but why wear the sign if you're not one? If you're not a sailor, don't wear a sailor uniform. If you're not a whore, don't wear a whore uniform. Because I don't like your preaching. We don't vote here. There are two types of people here. Those that like it, those that don't like it and need it. And so America stayed strong. Why? Because America got from the preceding generation its morals, its principles, its religion, its Bible, its decency, its character. The next generation said, I too am going to forget what's behind me. Doesn't mean the young people aren't important. It means they're so important we got to deliver to them what we got from the older generation. And so the third generation reached forth and said, I want what you have. I want what you got from the founding fathers. And the second generation turned and handed it to the third generation. Now the third generation has what they got from the second generation, what he got from the first generation. And America lived in the past. We had the principles, the integrity, the character, the virtue, the morality, the decency, the honor, the integrity of the past. And now we come to my generation. My generation said, we don't want the past. We don't want to forget what's behind us and reach forward to apprehend or hold on to what was before us. My generation turned around to the kids. In the 1960s, my generation said, give us what you got. Teach us how to run a nation. They don't know how to run a nation. He does. He does. He does. But he doesn't. Nobody dumber than Ed LaPina. And so, the younger generation gave to my generation how to run a nation. They'd never run a hot dog stand. They'd never run a booth at county fair. They'd never sold Kool-Aid on a street corner. But they know how to run a nation. So my generation said, we'll take from the young generation, the 1960s, as long as we took what the past had, we never lost a war. When we decided to take what the future had, we lost the first war we ever lost. And brother, we wouldn't have lost the Vietnam War if we'd taken advice from our fathers instead of our kids. I'm not against young people. I love young people, but we love them enough to want to give them what our founding fathers had. So this generation taught us how to lose a war. This generation taught us how to wear our hair. This generation taught us how to murder our babies. This generation taught us how to go to insane asylums because of narcotics. This generation taught us how to let the crooks have the guns and decent people don't have them. This generation taught us how to have 52% of our babies born in America born outside the normal marriage vows. This generation taught us to have queer marriages. America has been destroyed because my generation turned and said, you give us what you have. And we said, we don't care what George Washington had. We don't care what Abraham Lincoln had. We don't care what Benjamin Franklin had. We don't care what Dwight L. Moody had. We don't care what Billy Sunday had. We don't care what Charles G. Finney had. We don't care what Jonathan Edwards had. We don't care what our founding fathers had. We want what these kids that don't even shave have. God says he requires that which is past. Let me show you again what destroyed America. Oh, I'm sorry. There was, when this man right here was alive, there was one gospel preacher in America for every 200 citizens. Next generation said, I want what you got, and he gave it to him. Next generation said, I want what you got from him, and he gave it to him. Next generation said, don't want what it is. I want what the kids have. And one reason is, and he gave it to them. And one reason is, we've gotten afraid of the kids. I'll guarantee you, looking at the fellow right now, it's not scared of you. We're scared to death of the kids. It's one reason why Hiles Anderson College doesn't have a student council. You looking at the student council. It's speaking right now. So Hiles Anderson College hadn't got a student newspaper. I mean, the inmates don't run this institution. Some of you folks are shocked to hear this kind of preaching. That's because you want the president preaching. You want the Rochester Seminary preaching. You want the Southwestern Seminary preaching. You want the Southern Seminary preaching. Rather than the preaching of our forefathers. Thank you, fellas. God requires the Bible of the past, the religion of the past, standards of the past, the dress of the past, the morals of the past. He's not interested in the lectures of the present, the drama of the present, the church cinema of the present. I only like cinema on rolls. Of the seminars and heminars and feminars and stupidars of the present. Of the book reviews of the present. Of the cell block studies of John MacArthur in the present. Brother, there was a day when old-fashioned leather-lunged preachers filled every pulpit almost in America. And old-time gospel preaching like you are hearing right now was echoed through every city, village, town, and neighborhood in this country. That's what the past was. And the Bible says that God requires that which is past. You cute little preacher boys from Hiles Anderson, like that punk I mentioned a while ago. Well, I will check out and decide what I believe. You're not supposed to do that. Paul didn't say to Timothy, you decide what you believe. He said, here it is, I got it from the witnesses, here it is, take it. And deliver it. You say, you're taking away my freedom. Nope, God is. Jeremiah 6:16 says, ask for the old path. I love Jeremiah 18:15, because my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in a way not cast up. What does that mean? That man right there, you have a cast on now? He had a cast on for how long? 6 weeks. What's a cast for? That cast is keep that foot exact like it is till it heals. And God said, my people have forsaken the ancient truths that have been set in a cast. Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Psalm 77:5, I have considered the days of old. Isaiah 51:9, awake as in the generation of old. Isaiah 25:1, the counsels of the old are faithful and truth. America will never go forward until America goes backward. And these little two-bit theologians, trained in the 1960s, to say to the young people, where shall we go? Young folks, I tell you where to go. You follow the old crowd. It's time some of you folks start respecting your mama, your daddy. It's time some of you, instead of going getting advice from some little 18-year-old, you went to grandma and grandpa to get some advice. Our churches will die unless we get back to the past. You will never be happy and content until you live with the principles of the past. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Faith of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. You'll never be happy. America will never be great again. Our churches will never be what they used to be and what they ought to be. And our future will be blighted unless we turn back to the past. Because God requireth that which is past. Our Heavenly Father, the truth was ever preached in a pulpit in America. It was preached tonight. If there's a subject America needs, it's tonight. Our heads are bowed.